In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Yesterday we saw that God promised Abram that as the dust of the earth there would be as many children that he would give him. And then we saw Abram coming from the slaughter of the kings, and this is the 17th verse of the 14th chapter of Genesis. Let's look at it. "And the king of Sodom went out to meet Abram after his return from the slaughter of the kings. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine." What does the priest do? The priest sacrifices. The priest of Salem, the king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was a priest of the Most High God, and he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered the enemies into your hand." And Abram gave Melchizedek tithes. Very interesting. This is very interesting. Abram gives Melchizedek tithes. Jesus is a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. He is not a priest according to the order of Aaron. We look at the fifth chapter of Hebrews. "Christ glorified not himself to be high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. And he said in another place, Thou art a priest forever, a priest according to the order of Melchizedek." Thou art a priest forever, a priest according to the order of Melchizedek, "who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and Jesus was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek." On the night before he died, Jesus takes bread and wine, and he consecrates it as he is a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And he says, "This is my body, and this is my blood." Again, Jesus is a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek sacrificed bread and wine. So we continue to look at Hebrews 7. "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and Melchizedek blessed Abraham, and to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all." He gave the tithe. First being, by interpretation, Melchizedek is king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. He is without father, without mother, without descent, having neither being days nor end, beginning days or end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, he abides a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. We see that as Abram gave tithes to Melchizedek, we see that Levi gave tithes to Melchizedek. You say Levi is not living. In the loins of Abraham. In the loins of Abraham. So we see this whole experience of thou art a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. The priesthood that I have by the grace of God is not the priesthood of Aaron. It is the priesthood of Melchizedek according to the order of Melchizedek. And what did Melchizedek offer? Bread and wine. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the death of the Lord, the same death. This is the same sacrifice that is on our altar. It is not a new sacrifice. It is the same sacrifice of Calvary. It is the same sacrifice that that Jesus offered at the Last Supper. So let's continue. And the Lord brought Abram forth abroad and said, "Look toward the heaven and tell me if you can count the stars." And he said unto him, "So shall your seed be." And he believed in the Lord, and it counted him as righteousness. Abram is the man who lives by faith. If you want to please God, you must live by faith. Faith, not sight. Faith, not sight. But grace brings us faith. We don't have faith without grace. Grace brings us faith. It brings us that saving faith which comes from grace. And now we look at what Sarai started to conjure up because they had no children. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And the Lord promised that he would have as many children as the stars of the sky and the dust of the earth. And Sarai had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, "Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go into my maid, and it be that I may obtain children by her." And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. This is where all the trouble starts. Abram listens to Sarai, and this is where all the trouble starts, the trouble between Isaac and Ishmael. This is where all the trouble starts, because it was human wisdom. It was not the wisdom of God. It was not the wisdom of God. God promised Abram to have children through Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. So she starts despising Sarai, because now Hagar is present, pregnant, and Sarai isn't. And Sarai said unto Abram, "My wrong be unto thee. I have given my maid unto thy bosom." And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, "Behold, your maid is in your hands. Do with her as you please." And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. She runs away. She runs away. Yes, she runs away. And Hagar runs away. And an angel of the Lord found Hagar by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by a fountain in the way of Shur. And he said, "Hagar, Sarai's maid, where did you come from? And where were you going?" And she said, "I have fled from the face of my mistress Sarai." Why? Because Sarai was treating her miserably. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, "Return to thy mistress and submit your hands to your mistress." And the angel of the Lord said unto her, "I will multiply your seed exceedingly." This is Ishmael. "And it shall be numbered for multitude." And the angel of the Lord said unto her, "Behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction." You see, Abram and Sarai were not acting out of faith. They wanted to fix the whole thing. "We're going to have children. God promised us. So take these slave woman, Hagar, and have a baby with her, and she'll be ours, and we'll have children through her. And he will be a wild man, this Ishmael. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him." Sounds like it is now with the Arabs. "And he shall dwell in the presence of his brethren." And she called the name of the Lord that spoke unto her, "Thou God seest me." And she said, "Have I also here looked after him that seeth me?" Wherefore the well was called Beersheba, between Kadesh and Bedrod. And Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram called his son Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old. That's 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abraham. You see, when you take things in your own hands, things don't work out. They have historical consequences. Abram had no right to take Hagar as his wife. I don't care what Sarai said. They were not acting in faith at that time. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, that's 99, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be made perfect, and I will make a covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. When you hear the Bible talk about making a covenant, it's always cutting a covenant, and blood will be shed. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Well, he says, I am, because I have Ishmael. But that's not God's idea. Ishmael was not God's idea. God's idea was that he would have children through Sarai. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For you shall be a father of many nations, and I shall have made thee a father of many nations. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come out of you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed after thee in the generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to have thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, that's Canaan, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant therefore, thou and thy seed after thee, in all generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your seed and you. Every man's child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token, a covenant between me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man's child in your generations. He that is born in the house of the bought with money, at any stranger. In other words, the sign of the covenant is going to be circumcision. That's the child will be circumcised. The slaves will be circumcised. Abraham will be circumcised. And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her Sarai, but Sarah. Sarah is her name. And I will bless her and give her a son also. And I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell flat on his face and laughed and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarai that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Again, Abraham is not working out of faith. He's working out of sight. And God said, Sarah, your wife, shall bear thee a son. Indeed, you shall call his name Isaac. What does that mean? Laughter. Abraham laughed. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful, and I will multiply Ishmael exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. This is the Arab nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this time next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. And Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with money, every man of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the same day as God had said unto him. Chapter 18 of Genesis. So we see the sign of the covenant between God and Abraham is circumcision. We see that God promises Abraham that his house is going to be filled. He's going to be the father of many nations. We see that Abraham is the father of the Jews, of the Christians, and of the Muslims. This is real. Abraham is the same father of the Muslims, if you go back long enough. Now, chapter 18. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. It was noon. The heat of the day is noon. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. In other words, he calls these three men to come and eat with him. This is hospitality of the desert. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort your hearts. After that, you can pass on. And therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. This is the law of the desert, the law of being hospitable. We have lost that law. We're not hospitable anymore. We're playing with computers, we're playing with iPhones, and we are not hospitable anymore. The first law of the desert is hospitality. Remember what it says in the 23rd Psalm, Thou hast prepared a table for me in the presence of mine enemies, that even when it gets dark, the enemies must feed the enemy must feed the ones that they are enemy with. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. So what happens? Abraham ran to the tent unto Sarah and said, Make ready quick three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes from the fire. And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched the calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man, and he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. So we see the law of hospitality is being fulfilled. He went out of his way to make these three men come in. Now, who are these three men? They're three angels. They represent the Trinity. Oh, yes, that they represent the Trinity. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto you according in time of life. And lo, Sarah your wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, and she laughed. She laughed. And Sarah was old and well stricken in age, and ceased to be with Sarah after the men of women, which means that she stopped having her period. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being also old. And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now that's going to ask you that question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? The Lord does the impossible. Is anything too hard for the Lord for you? The Lord does the impossible. What do you need today? The Lord does the impossible. Nothing is too hard for the Lord, but we must place our faith in him. We see Abraham is the man of faith, but yet he doesn't have faith all the time. You see, when you start going into your own ways, you mess up God's plan. You mess up God's plan. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At that time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And Sarah denied, saying, I didn't laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, you did laugh. So we see all these things happening. The sign of the covenant is circumcision, that God will be their people, and people will be have a God, and that the number of children will be as many as the stars of the sky and the dust of the earth. We see that Abram meets Melchizedek, the priest who sacrifices bread and wine, and offers him the tenth, the tithe. And we also see that, as a matter of fact, Aaron was in his loins, and Aaron offered Melchizedek the tithe. There is a new law and a new promise. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time. It'll be a very good thing for you to read chapter 17 of Genesis and chapter 18 of Genesis, and just to see what it says, and to be able to go into these words and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for keeping your promises. Thank you for keeping your promises. Thank you for keeping your promises, Lord. I want to invite you to the School of the Holy Spirit, July 19th to the 25th at Holy Rosary Church, 1015 Shirley Street in Winthrop. It is, if you would like to find out more about it, www.daysofglory.org/register. daysofglory.org/register. You can register online. It would be wonderful. These are wonderful days that happen between the 19th and the 25th of July. God will be praised during our meetings, and great things will happen. Great things will happen. Is there anything too difficult for God? Nothing is too difficult for God. Nothing is impossible with God. I need to hear from people, because we're not paying our bills. I need that people would send us donations, because we are not paying our bills. I need that. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. We're going to do the Divine Mercy as much as we can. For the sake of His sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of His sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of His sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of His sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of His sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of His sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of His sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of His sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of His sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of His sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal Father, we offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of His sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of His sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of His sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of His sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of His sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of His sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. for the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal Father, we offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and the sins of the world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal Father, we offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. He shed his blood for you. He went to the cross for you. He took your wounds and your burdens and your infirmities. Is anything too difficult for God? God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.